Isaiah chapter 42, beginning at verse 1. Altogether, behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread forth the earth and that which comes from it, who gives breath to the people on it, and spirit to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness, and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the prison, those who sit in darkness from the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not give to another, nor my praise to carved images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Then our New Testament reading this morning, 2 Corinthians 5, and we'll begin at verse 14 and reading through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, you'll find it on page 611 of our Pew Bible. Again, the Word of God. For the love of Christ compels us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that those who live should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Just before you sit down, the sermon is going to be on verse 17. Let me reread it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. The title of the message this morning is A New Beginning. Today is New Year's Day. Happy New Year. It seemed appropriate, since the Lord's Day falls exactly on the first day of the year, to preach a New Year's Day sermon. A new year is, in many respects, a new beginning. Not in an absolute sense, for life began for each of us at the time of conception. What the Lord said to Jeremiah is true for us all. Behold, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. For all human beings except one, the Lord Jesus Christ, life begins in the womb. For the Lord, however, as we saw last week in Micah chapter 5, his goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. He alone among all human beings is the pre-existent one, the eternal Son. He is also the sinless one. He doesn't need a new beginning, for he never sinned. This past week, I was notating some complicated music. I went back and made a slight change to one measure, and the note spacing became all messed up. No matter what I did, it still looked awful. I ended up selecting the option clear all items from that measure, and I started anew. This time it looked fine, and I could carry on with my work. Well, that's how it is with life in a fallen world. Adam sinned and brought a curse upon the whole race. But Christ, the second Adam, has restored what was lost in Adam, bringing in the new man. Note the parallels between our Old and New Testament texts. In Isaiah, we read these words, "Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." And then our New Testament text, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Note that both the Old and New Testament texts mention new things. Here is the promise of new life in Christ. If you have been converted, born again by God's Spirit, then this text has three things to say to you. First of all, you are a new creature in Christ. The New King James puts it, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." The old KJV has, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." If you are born again, then you are a new creature in Christ. Now stop and think about that for a moment. As I look around the room, we look like pretty regular people. Nothing particularly special about us. We don't look like kings or queens or anything like that. We look like regular people. But here our text is telling us that if we are in Christ, then we are a new creature in him. What does this mean? It does not mean that physically you are no longer a human, but have become some kind of monster. What it means is that whereas before you were spiritually dead, having lost the capacity to relate to God that was Adam's and Eve's in the Garden of Eden before the fall, you now have been given spiritual life. Paraphrasing the wording of our catechism, which teaches based upon Holy Scripture that God's Holy Spirit has done a work of recreation in you whereby convincing you of your sin and misery, enlightening your mind in the knowledge of Christ, and renewing your will, he has persuaded and enabled you to embrace Jesus Christ, freely offered to you in the gospel. You are now in Christ, and all that he has done in his atoning work is accounted as yours. When he died on the cross, you died with him. When he rose again from the dead on the third day, you rose with him to newness of life. You are not a new creature by your own self-effort. In all of this, you are passive. Christ's Spirit has mercifully acted upon you, giving you spiritual life where before there was only death. He has enabled you to embrace the Lord Jesus by faith. You are now a new creature in Christ. This is not like the funeral director's work of embalming a corpse. The mortician, of course, takes a body that perhaps was very sick or stricken with old age, or maybe there was even damaged in an accident. And what does he do? He puts cosmetics on it and perfumes it and makes it look as lifelike as possible, because the mourners will want to pass by the casket and try to say their goodbyes. Before the public viewing, a family member is invited in to see the result and offer criticisms. Perhaps he will have to do a little more work. The mortician wants to put the best face on a human corpse. This is like self-effort in religion. God's work of sanctification is not like that. What God does is to regenerate a spiritually dead person and give him life. This is something that only God can do. He makes a spiritually dead person into a new creation, something utterly amazing to behold. And if you've ever seen the transformation of someone that's close to you, someone that you knew what their life was like before they came to Christ, perhaps you've been amazed by that. John Gill describes this transformation in these words, which I will paraphrase. The new creation of which the apostle speaks is an inward principle of grace, which is not man's, but God's. In this work, man is entirely passive, as he was in his first creation. It is something new, implanted in the soul, which was never there before. It is not a working upon and improvement of the old nature, but the implantation of new grace and holiness. Here is a new heart, a new spirit, new affections and desires, new delights and joys, new eyes to see with, new ears to hear with. This impacts all our actions. Well, God's work of regeneration in the soul is a new beginning, wrought by the immediate power of God. The Arminian gets this all wrong. He says something like, and here I'm quoting from a respected commentary, and actually it has a lot of very good things in it, but this statement is wrong. He says, the Arminian says something like, whenever a person comes to be part of the body of Christ by faith, there is a new act of creation on God's part. End quote. For the Arminian, an individual dead in trespasses and sins, spiritually dead, somehow, in spite of that death, musters up the faith to come to Christ. Then, when he has done that, God responds by creating new life in him. But this is all backward. It's like putting the cart before the horse. It's like asking a corpse to come to life. It just won't happen. You can stand at a casket and plead with the corpse to come to life until you are blue in the face, all to no avail. What the Bible teaches is that only Christ, through his Spirit, has the power to raise the dead. Christ is the Lord and giver of life. And thank God, he does this on a daily basis. Whenever a spiritually dead sinner comes to Christ, it is a miracle. If you have come to Christ, that transformation in your life was a miracle. You cannot take credit for it. It's not something that happens by man's effort. Try as he might, man cannot regenerate himself. He cannot regenerate anyone else. Man may try to do it by enlisting the powers of human persuasion, by getting the most persuasive evangelist he can get, by giving an invitation, pleading with people to get up out of their seats and come down the aisle, by playing soft music, which grips the emotions, by telling gripping stories. But bringing life to a spiritual corpse is beyond man's power to do. It is a miracle, and only God can do it. But Christ is the miracle worker. And if we're going to see conversions in our midst, it's going to be by the power of Christ. Oh, congregation, how we need to seek His face in prayer. As the old hymn puts it, "Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we meet to preach His word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One come down. Brethren, pray and holy manna will be showered all around." Yes, in the conversion of spiritually dead sinners, all is vain unless the Holy Spirit comes down. How we need His revivifying work. By the way, revivify, it's a perfect word, but it means to make alive again. That's the kind of work we need. John Murray, the great theologian, put it this way: regeneration is the beginning of all saving grace in us. We are not born again by faith or repentance or conversion. We repent and believe because we have been regenerated. The embrace of Christ in faith is the first evidence of regeneration. And only thus may we know that we have been regenerated. What's he saying? He's saying, if you are truly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation right now, that's evidence that you're born again. That's the evidence. Well, the point the Apostle Paul is making is that if you are in Christ, if you have been put there by His grace, you are a new creature. A new creature, not of your own creation. You can't create yourself. But a new creature by the miraculous, renovative working of Christ's Holy Spirit. He renews us. So are you a new creature in Christ? Has this momentous change been wrought in you? How can you know? You can know because now you desire God's glory, not your own. You want to live for Him. You delight in obeying Him. Not perfectly, for in this life we still struggle against sin. But there's been a change, and now you want to live for Christ. A song I've been teaching my grandchildren puts it like this: happiness is to know the Savior, living a life that's in His favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation. Jesus and me in close relation, having a part in His salvation. Happiness is the Lord. Have you had a change in your behavior? Can people around you see the change? Are you gaining victory over old sinful habits? Are you learning to control your temper? Are you learning to control your tongue? Is God curing you of your sloth? Do you have a hunger and thirst for righteousness? Does it bother you when you relapse? Do you ask God for His forgiveness and cleansing? All these are indications that you are a new creature in Christ. And if you don't see those indications, then I plead with you, come to Christ. Well, secondly, our passage teaches us, if you're in Christ, then your old way of life is gone. Your old way of life is gone. The apostle goes on to say, old things are passed away. What does he mean? As he explains in the book of Ephesians, once you walked according to the course of this world, taking your orders, whether you realized it or not, from the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the children of disobedience. Once you lived according to the flesh. Your whole purpose was to fulfill your bodily desires and urges, to live for whatever would give you pleasure. You couldn't wait for that next puff, that next drink, that next pill, that next toy, that next relationship. The newness of the last one had worn off. and you wanted another fix. As one hymn writer put it, all my life long I had panted for a draught from some cool spring that I hoped would quench the burning of the thirst I felt within. Feeding on the husks around me till my strength was almost gone, longed my soul for something better, only still to hunger on. Hallelujah! I have found him whom my soul so long had craved. Jesus satisfies my longing. Through his blood, I now am saved. Here was the soul that was spiritually parched, experiencing life but never finding satisfaction, longing for something that would quench the burning thirst that would not go away, that hunger that was never completely satisfied. Now she has come to Christ and finds not just salvation from sin, but the answer to her deepest longing. What she needed, though she never understood it before, was Christ. As the psalmist put it, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My heart and my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. You'll find those words in Psalm 73. Truly, everything we sought before for satisfaction proved to be unsatisfying. It gave only momentary pleasure, but ultimately disappointed. But Christ is not like that. He alone satisfies our deepest need. When we come to Christ, we find that as human beings, we were hardwired for a relationship with the living God. Our hearts were restless till they found their rest in him. Nothing else could truly satisfy. But we've been saved. We have been brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. And we don't want to go back. The old has gone. We now know that it was a dead-end street, and we never want to live there again. As the apostle teaches in our text, all that was our life before has passed out of existence. A new life has come to stay. The tenses of those verbs used in the original indicates something that has totally passed away on the one hand, and it indicates there was a change made in the past with continuing results in the present. The new has come. It came at a moment in time, and the results hang around for the rest of our lives. And thank God that that is the case. For the born-again believer, returning to the past is like a dog returning to its vomit, or a sow wallowing in the mire. The very thought of it is disgusting. The old life is just not appealing anymore. Pam was a successful businesswoman with 25 years of service to Alaska Airlines before becoming addicted to painkillers after a series of surgeries. She lost everything, her career, her home, and had to reach out to her brother for help. He welcomed her in, but it didn't last. When she was arrested for forging a prescription, her brother realized she needed more help than he could provide. In an act of tough love, he dropped her off at a woman's shelter. She says, it was at the Gospel Rescue Mission where I found the healing I needed. I learned who I was in Christ, and for the first time in my life, I experienced unconditional love. It changed everything. Since then, she found a position as an employment counselor, helping other men and women who were in the same position that she was in find hope and a path back to the workforce. She says, they tell me, you don't know what it's like to live in a homeless shelter or to look for a job with a felony on your record. And I can say, yes, I do. I know exactly what you're going through, but Christ has changed my life. Well, brothers and sisters, the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. Old things have passed away, but that is not all. When we take our car to a body shop, the supervisor gives it an inspection and prepares an estimate. He gives a detailed list of all the components in the vehicle that have become damaged and the repairs that are needed. But he doesn't just hand it to us and say, "Have a nice day." We would not be content to take that detailed list of damages and frame it and put it up on our wall. We need a vehicle for transportation. So what does the body shop do? They offer to fix it, to replace all the damaged components, to straighten all the bent fenders, to correct the alignment, to get the car back on the road again. And that's what we really need. And once they've fixed it, there's no way that any of us would want to go back to our old broken car. Well, thirdly, this morning, our text tells us that if we've come to Christ, everything has become new. Remember, I said that both our Old Testament and New Testament texts mention new things, plural. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Isaiah 42. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The Isaiah text speaks of the coming of Christ, the servant of the Lord. When he comes, the text says, he will bring salvation to all the Gentiles. He who created the heavens and stretched them out will give spiritual breath to those who were dead in trespasses and sins. He will open up blind eyes and bring out prisoners from the prison house of sin. The former way of life will be a thing of the past. Christ, whose voice created the heavens and the earth, will speak new things into existence. He will command the blessing, even life forevermore. Out of his mouth come the words, "New things I declare." And those new things come to pass. For the one who is in Christ, even the Gentile who is far off under the law, all things are become new. When by the blessed work of God's Holy Spirit you are brought to Christ, everything is new. New attitudes, a new purpose, a new understanding of life, a new desire to please God, a more sensitive conscience regarding activities and pleasures that grieve God's Holy Spirit. It is as though your once black and white world is now flooded with color, kind of like the 1939 film The Wizard of Oz, which begins in black and white and then suddenly turns to splendid technicolor. For the Christian, it is great to be alive, to see God's hand in His glorious creation and the way He weaves together all the events in your world. Yes, bad things happen. But the Christian understands that in God's world, everything happens for a purpose, and that that purpose ultimately is God's glory and our good. Here is a perspective that you never had before. Just think, all those years you were just muddling through, oblivious to God's hand of providence. Truly, the Christian can know the spiritual significance of the blind man's exclamation who was healed by Christ when he said, "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." John 9:25. And so it is for us as well. Yes, once I was blind, but now I see. Now I see with spiritual insight. The world makes sense. Everything is at peace. I know my loving Heavenly Father is watching over me. His Son will protect me and bring me to heaven. His Spirit is enlightening me and empowering me to do the things that are pleasing in His sight. Once I sought the pleasures of this world. Now I long to be in the presence of Christ. I desire to worship Him, to commune with Him, to know His heart, to know His will. I desire the fellowship of His people, my spiritual kinsmen with whom I will experience eternity. The book of Revelation speaks of this. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. Revelation 21. This is illustrated, if we need a perfect illustration, it's right in the Bible. This is illustrated in Jeremiah's description of the potter's wheel in Jeremiah 18. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my house, O house of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 18. The Christian's new life in Christ is just like the clay on the potter's wheel that was marred. The potter remade it into a beautiful piece of pottery. And so it is with us. Our lives are marred, ruined because of sin. But God, by His Spirit, remakes them into something beautiful. For His glory. What a wonderful new life He has given us. And while each of us still have problems that we have to solve and situations that we have to deal with, inwardly there's a sense of profound joy and satisfaction that cannot be replaced, that cannot be replicated by anything in this world. And so today is the beginning of a new year, the year 2017. This could be the year that our Lord returns. In His generosity, God has given us another year to grow in grace. Each of us needs to renew our commitment to the means of grace, the Word, the sacraments, and prayer. There can be no growth in grace without these. And today is the first day of the new year. What better time to commit to reading the Bible through this year? One almost painless way to do it is to listen to free recordings of the Bible read online. Take your bulletin home today. Don't put it back. Take it home and you'll notice that there's a web address on the very bottom line of the bulletin. It's an easy address. It's bible.is. Bible.is. It doesn't get much easier than that. Well, visit this site this afternoon. Choose the Bible version of your choice and begin to listen to Genesis, as Norma and I will do this afternoon. The website will remember your choice of Bible version and the place you last listened. Follow along in your printed Bible. Do you struggle with the pronunciation of Bible names? You will hear the speaker read them for you. As you listen, respond in prayer. You don't even have to stop the recording. You can say a simple, short prayer like, Yes, Lord, I love your truth. Bring it to pass. Let other family members hear it too. God has promised to bless his word. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Isaiah 55. O Christian, be sure to unleash the power of his word in your life this year. This is a good day to start. If you have been converted, God has saved you by his grace. Number one, you are a new creature in Christ. Number two, your old way of life is gone. Number three, everything has become new, and there's no turning back. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for new beginnings. We thank you, Lord, for your mercy that allows us new beginnings from time to time. Lord, we know that we've made a lot of mistakes in our lives. We've had a lot of missteps. There are certain things that we have done in the past that we would love to go back and undo and redo. Lord, we know that that's not possible. But Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of sins. We thank you, Lord, for this precious promise in the book of 2 Corinthians, that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation, wrought upon by the Holy Spirit of God. Thank you, Lord, that the old has passed away. And thank you, Lord, that all things have been made new by the voice of him who speaks things into existence, who says, new things I create, who says, all things are become new. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are such a mighty Savior. And thank you for new beginnings, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.